1 Samuel chapter 24. And I want to preach to you tonight on kneeling for our enemies. Kneeling for our enemies. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, let's find it and we'll read this passage of Scripture here together to begin with. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and let's begin reading there in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. In other words, this was a huge cave, a deep cave in the mountains where hundreds of people probably could have hidden in this cave. And David and his men were deep inside the cave. And Saul and his men came just into some of the closer area of the cave and so on. It says in verse 4, And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. In other words, the part of his garment, his robe and so on. He did it while he was asleep, and his heart actually smote him for even doing that. It says in verse 6, And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants, in other words, stopped his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rode afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King! When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. You know, Saul was David's enemy. Saul was an enemy to David. Saul knew at this point that, you know, David had been anointed by Samuel. He would have known all this and knew that David was going to take his place, knew that David would become the next king of Israel. We looked at chapter 15 where Samuel had told him, God's removing you. You know, you're not going to have God's blessing anymore and so on. You're going to be removed from this office. And a better man's going to take your place. That better man was David. And so Saul was out to get David. Saul had been trying to kill David. And here was a time where David had an opportunity where, you know what, he could have taken a sword if he wanted to, taken a spear and gotten rid of his enemy. He could have just gotten rid of his enemy. But he wasn't like that. He had a heart that wanted to do good to his enemy. And here we see he bowed his face to the earth. He kneeled and said, My Lord the King. Verse 9 says, And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bid me to kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. You know what David was saying to King Saul? Listen, Saul, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do you evil. You were here that tonight. I had an opportunity. I could have killed you. See the part of your garment here, the part of your skirt that I cut off and so on. I could have gotten rid of you tonight, but that's not in my heart to do that. You're my Lord. You're the King. You're over me. And I don't want to hurt you. He didn't want to hurt the one who was his avowed enemy. His avowed enemy. Verse number 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Saul recognized it, and he wept. That here was David that was returning good to him even when he was trying to do evil to David. He recognized that David was trying to do good to him even though Saul had been trying to hurt him, trying to kill him even. "Thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded the evil." Verse 18. "And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me, by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore, promised unto Saul. Then Saul went home, and David and his men got them up under the hold. I think this story is absolutely amazing of how David has the opportunity where he could have hurt his enemy. He could have taken vengeance upon his enemy, the one who was hunting to kill him. He had been hunting for him. He hadn't been hunting, you know, for quail. He hadn't been hunting for deer. He was hunting for David. His men were out there hunting for David to kill him and to be rid of him. And when David had an opportunity to take vengeance or to hurt his enemy, he would not do it. He returned good to him, even though Saul was doing evil to him. He kneeled towards his enemy. Kneeled toward his enemy. How should we treat our enemies? How should we treat those who have wronged us or hurt us or maybe offended us in some way? Let's look at some other passages of Scripture quickly. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll go back and forth a little bit to some verses in the Old and New Testament. John chapter 15 and verse number 18. How should we treat our enemies? How should we treat those? You know, an enemy can come in a lot of different shapes and sizes, a lot of different forms. It can be different ways. But when someone's attacked us, or someone's wronged us, or someone's just hurt us, or someone's offended in us, and they maybe acted like an enemy, whether it was a momentary acting like an enemy or whether it's been a continual thing, how should we treat someone when they've hurt us, when they've wronged us, when they've offended us, when they've maybe sought to hurt us? John chapter 15, and notice what it says here in verse 18 to 21. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." That's Jesus speaking. He says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You know what Jesus said to disciples and to believers and so on? There's going to be some times where the world treats you like an enemy. Because you're not one of them. You're of Christ. You're following Christ. Thank God for what we have. And you know what? There are some people in this world that certainly treat Christians as an enemy. I just read this afternoon a pastor sent an email and mentioned... I forget his name, but that leader now of North Korea, that young guy, and so on. And I think he just in the last day or two maybe made a decision that 33 Christians, 33 Baptist Christians in North Korea they're in prison right now and they're to be executed here soon. Just for being Christians, essentially, he's saying that they would try to overthrow their communist government. We, of course, understand as Christians that's not true, but let me tell you something. There's people that are facing attack just for being a Christian. It's happening often. It's happening frequently in some places in our world today. Listen, there are some people that will treat us as an enemy simply for being a Christian. Here in John 15 again, it says, "Because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." He reminds them, listen, you're no greater than your Lord Jesus. If they hated me and persecuted me and wanted to crucify me and put me on a cross, then don't you think sometimes there may be some people in this world that may hate you? There may be some people that don't like you. There may be some people that would try to hurt you. May not like what you do and what you believe for being a Christian. It says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Why will they sometimes persecute? Why will there sometimes people that will treat a Christian as an enemy because of their following Christ? And Jesus said, it's because they don't know the Lord. They don't know our Heavenly Father. They don't know God and they don't know the truth. But he says, listen, there'll be times where you have an enemy simply because you take the name of Christ and follow Jesus Christ. If you do what Jesus wants and you live like him, there'll be times where you may be hated. You may have enemies. And we need to accept that and understand that. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 26. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26 to 28. Again, here's a passage where Jesus was speaking. And he says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Spoke well of them for a time, and then they want to kill them. Be careful of somebody that's maybe speaking a bit too nice. They may have a dagger hidden in their pocket ready to get you. He warns them. Verse 27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Look at how Jesus instructs his disciples to treat their enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Bless them. And pray for them. Pray for them. We need to know how to treat them. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. How should we treat our enemies? How should we treat them? How should we hurt those who even wrong us or hurt us? Understand that there'll be times where we'll have enemies for being a Christian. Understand that there'll be times where they may seek to hurt you. But not just that. There'll be times where others will hurt you. There may be times where even another Christian hurts you unintentionally and they somewhat become your enemy, if you will, because they maybe mistreat you or they hurt you or they offended you in some way. What are we supposed to do? Well, pray for them. Do good for them. Bless them. Do good to them. Matthew chapter 5 here and verse number 38. Matthew chapter 5. And let's read from verse 38 down to verse 48. Matthew 5, 38 to 48. The Bible says here, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." If somebody has done something to smack you on the cheek, so to speak, if somebody has done something to hurt you, he says, you're not supposed to take vengeance on them. It's not supposed to be, well, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They did something to hurt me, so I'm going to do something to hurt them. They did something to wrong me, and so I'm going to get even with them. And they were mean towards me, and so I'm going to have a mean spirit towards them. That's not what God wants us to do. It says, verse 40, "And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go with him 2 miles. Verse 42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." Love your enemies. He says, well, don't just love those that love you. That's easy to do. He says, I'm telling you now to love your enemies. Love those that hurt you. Love those that have wronged you or offended you or hurt you. They've treated you like an enemy. He says, love them. Love them. I say unto you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Listen, Jesus, He's teaching us. This is how we need to treat our enemies. This is how we need to treat those who hurt us. This is how we need to treat those who maybe hate us or hurt us or offend us or do wrong to us or mistreat us. We need to know how to treat them. It's not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to take vengeance on them. No, He tells us to love them. Love them. It needs to be an agape love, a deep and abiding love. How can we love them? Well, we're going to have to ask God to give us the kind of love that God has. Ask God to give us the kind of deep, abiding, agape love that He would have to be able to love them. Ask God to give us the mind of Christ. Ask God to give us the kind of love that He has for people. Another thing that would help us is to look at others as being broken, not bad. Look at others as being broken, not bad. Sometimes we could look at people that are wrong, or look at the world, or look at those that are bad, or mistreat, or want to do evil to others, and think, well, they're just bad, bad, bad. No, they're broken. They're broken. Sin breaks people, and Jesus Christ is the one that can restore. Jesus Christ is the one that can heal. Jesus Christ is the one that can make things right. People are broken, not just bad. There's hope for every person. And we need to see that in other people. Another thing that's good to remember is this. We need to realize that those who may lash out and hurt others usually have a hurting heart. You know that those who have a tendency to really lash out, have a tendency to hurt people, it's because their heart is filled with a lot of hurting. You may not know about it, but there may be some things in their heart that are really hurting, really grieving them. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've been hurt in their life, a lot of hurt. And you know what they have a tendency to do? Want to lash out, hurt somebody else. It happens a lot. It happens. And we need to learn how to treat our enemies, treat those that hurt us. We need to love them. And we need to ask God to give us a deep and abiding love for them like He would want us to. So we need to love them. Secondly, we need to bless them. Bless them means, you know, we need to speak well of them. We need to praise them. We need to bless them and so on. We need to do good to them. That means we should actually do good things for them. Do good things for them. Have you ever done good things for an enemy? I mean an avowed enemy. I mean somebody that would stand to hurt you. Somebody that would be bitter towards you. I've bought Bibles before for friends, and I've bought Bibles before for enemies. I've bought gifts before for friends, and I've bought gifts before for enemies, and taken it and dropped it off on their doorstep and ran away. You know what? Because we'll have those that are friends to us, and we'll have those that become an enemy to us for some reason. And we're to do good to them. We're to do good to them. Actually do good things for them. Well, I might think, why should I do good to them? Why should I do good for somebody who's mistreated me? Why would I want to do good for somebody who's unkind to me? Well, you know why? Because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus was good to those who were unkind to Him. You know what? Jesus still died on the cross for those that were mean to Him. He died on the cross for those who cried out, "Crucify Him." He died for them. He was always good to those, even if they weren't good to Him. We need to love our enemies. We need to bless them. We need to do good to them. Do good things for them. And we need to pray for them. We need to kneel and we need to pray for them. Ask God to do good to them. Ask God maybe to bless them better than what they deserve. Pray for them. Pray for them. They may be hurting. They may be broken. They may have needs in their life. And we need to pray for our enemies. You know what? Prayer can change our heart towards our enemies. Prayer can change our heart to make us want to do good to our enemy rather than, you know, it's easy to have a vengeful spirit in our flesh. If our flesh gets hurt, we'd like to hurt back. If we've been mistreated, well, we'd like to mistreat. But that's in our flesh. That's in our sinful nature. But God tells us, love them, bless them, do good for them, and pray for them. When you start praying for your enemies or praying for those that have hurt you, it'll make you have a greater heart to want to do good to them. Back in Proverbs, don't turn there with me, turn to Romans, actually, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. But let me read you a couple of verses. Proverbs 24:17 says this, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." The Bible says, rejoice not. You shouldn't be rejoicing when your enemy falls or when your enemy stumbles. Don't be glad about that. That'd be the wrong attitude to have. Proverbs 25 says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Romans chapter 12 here in verse number 17. Romans 12:17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, return to no man evil for evil. Don't repay evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And God teaches us, God instructs us in this word. He says, you give place unto wrath. You don't let wrath take you and control you, that you start doing evil towards. You start seeking the hurt of somebody that hurts you. He says, you let God take care of it. You let God be the judge. You let God be the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if vengeance needs to be taken upon your enemies, God says, I will take care of it. You're not supposed to do that. Somebody hurts you, you're not supposed to try to hurt them back. Somebody mistreats you, you're not supposed to, well, I'm never going to talk to them again. That's the wrong attitude to have. But you know what? Too often, that's the way that we act in our flesh. In our flesh. He goes on and says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Remember what Jesus said? Bless them and do good to them. Do good to them. Exodus 23:4 says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass, his donkey going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. And that's just an example of the times and so on. But he says, you know, if you were to find your enemy's cattle, if you were to find your enemy's oxen, and he'd wandered away, he'd gone away from the farm, and he was all lost someplace, you know what? You should actually take it and take it back to your neighbor farmer. Oh, the neighbor farmer that you're bitter against, the neighbor farmer that you don't like, you take it back to him. You don't steal it from him. You don't try to hide it further and so on. No, you take it back to him. You do good to even someone that's not done good to you. Listen, we can be so petty and so silly and so foolish and fight over the silliest of things. God doesn't want us to be like that. I've sometimes had Christians confess their sins to me and then, not intentionally, but tell me about all the problems they were having with their neighbors and fighting with their neighbors and having disagreements with their neighbors. Don't tell me all your sins, please. You know, tell them to the Lord and get right with Him. But you know, fighting over this and fighting over the boundaries of their property and fighting over the type of fence that was to be put up and just being upset and so on. Listen, God doesn't want us to be like that. God doesn't want us to be like that. God's Word and Jesus' example teaches us to do good to our enemies, to pray for our enemies. Look with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verse number 47. Luke chapter 22 and verse 47. Here the Bible says this, Luke 22:47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. This is there, the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be betrayed by Judas. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And the other disciples gathered around. They realized, it's happening. Judas now is going to betray the Lord. He's going to betray Jesus. He says, do you want us to take our sword? Do you want us just to kill Judas now? Or do you want us to fight against these soldiers that are come to take you away? Should we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. It was probably Peter, you know, leading the way, boisterous Peter there, cutting off the ear of one of the soldiers. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. You know what? Doesn't say it exactly in these words in the passage of Scripture, but Jesus obviously had to kneel to pick up that ear off the ground and to reattach it there. Was this his enemy? Yeah, it was. We understand that these soldiers were coming as enemies, wanting to take Jesus away and wanting to get rid of him, wanting to find him guilty of something, wanting to imprison him, wanting him to be put to death. And here was an enemy. One of the disciples cuts off the ear, and Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Can you picture Jesus kneeling and picking up that ear, putting it back on the soldier and healing? And what Jesus did good to his enemies. He did good to his enemies. Turn with me to 1 Samuel again. And I want to show you one other story there in a different chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. The Bible tells us of a second occasion when David found his enemy Saul and his armies asleep with no guard. No night guard, nobody watching, and there was Saul, and there was his soldiers, and they were all asleep. They were tired, they were sleeping, and here David finds them. Another chance to get rid of his enemy. And look what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 26, and verse number 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." Isn't that a funny expression? Says David, "I'll take my sword. Let me just smite him this one time, and I'll do it so good I don't have to do it a second time." Well, that's good. That's wonderful. And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die." God knows the day of his birth, the day of his death. God will take care of it all. "Or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster in the cruse of water, and let us go. Let us go." David had an opportunity to rid himself of his enemy. An opportunity to take vengeance on the one that had hunted for his soul and wanted to kill him. But he didn't. He didn't. Why should we kneel for our enemies? Why should we kneel for our enemies? You know, Jesus told us to love them, to bless them, to do good to them, and to pray for them. Why should we do that? Why should we kneel for our enemies? Why should we kneel and pray for our enemies? Why should we kneel and humble ourselves to actually do good to somebody that's maybe done wrong to us? Why should we kneel in humility of spirit to do good to somebody who's actually hurt us or tried to wrong us or someone who's mistreated us? Why should we kneel with that humility to treat them good? Why should we kneel and pray for our enemies? Why should we do good to our enemies? Number one, because God has commanded it. Luke 6:27 and other verses we read, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." Why should we do good to our enemies? Why should we kneel and pray for our enemies? Why should we in humility do good to them when they've mistreated us or hurt us or wronged us? We should do good and pray for them and kneel in our spirit in the way we would treat them because God has commanded it. Why should we do good to our enemies? Why should we pray for our enemies? Number two, because God will reward you and bless you for it. Luke 6, another verse, a few verses later, says this: "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." God says your reward shall be great. Why should you love your enemies? Why should you pray for your enemies? Why should you do good to your enemies? Why should you do good to your husband even when he mistreated you? Why should you be kind to somebody who's hurt you? Why should you be kind to the enemy? The one who's wronged you? The one who's offended you? Because God will reward you and bless you for it. Your reward shall be great. Why should you do good? Why should you pray for them? Why should you kneel in your spirit to do good to your enemies? Because God's commanded it. Because God will reward you and bless you for it. And number three, because it'll make you more like God. It'll make you more like Him. It'll make you more like Jesus. Again, that verse I just read, love your enemies, do good, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know what? You become more like Him. You become more like God when you start to do that. Luke 6:35. He's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to them. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be kind to the unthankful. We ought to do good to those. Remember what Romans said? Returning good for evil. Overcoming evil with good. Overcoming evil with good. We should do good to our enemies. We should pray for our enemies because it'll make you more like God. Why should we pray for our enemies? Why should we kneel in our spirit in humility to do good to our enemies? Because God's commanded it. Because God will reward you and bless you for it. Because it'll make you more like Him. Number four, because it'll change your heart towards them. We need God to change our heart towards them. We can have a wrong heart and a bitter attitude and upset spirit. If we pray for them and do good for us, you know what? It'll help us to love them and it'll change our heart towards them. And number five, because there's a chance it can change their heart towards you. And that would ultimately be awesome. Wouldn't that be good? If God would change their heart towards you. You can't ultimately affect their heart to change their heart, but it can make a difference. That their heart may be changed. Their heart towards you. That an enemy becomes a friend. The book of Proverbs talks about it as heaping coals of fire upon their head. It may seem like, well, that doesn't seem like a nice thing, but he says you're doing it by doing good to them. Doing good to them. It may be that you win an enemy to become a friend. It may be that you take someone who's tried to hurt you or wrong you or offend you, and they become your friend rather than your enemy. Why should we pray for our enemies? Why should we kneel to pray for our enemies? Why should we kneel in our spirit in a humility to try to do good, actually do good to somebody that's tried to do bad to us? Because God's commanded it. Because God will reward you and bless you for it. Because it'll make you more like God. Because it'll change your heart towards them. And because it can change their heart towards you. We want that.